This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Friday show rolling on here in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. Logan Gordon, Julian McKenzie along with you. Our producers this hour are Cam and Shan. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, wet basement, the lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement, even at dlbasementsystems.com. Flames Canucks chat in hour one, plus an update on March Madness with Shan. If you missed any of it, check us out on the podcast at Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or your favorite pod catcher. Podcasts go up after every hour finishes here on Sportsnet 960. And still to come, you can get your questions in at 960-960. We're going to end off the week with the Friday DMs. Anything you want to ask the crew. Doesn't have to be sports related. We'll dive into all of it coming up a little bit later on this hour, but send your text in now to 960-960. Very cool conversation to kick off this hour, Julian. Very excited to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome in Stampeders receiver Reggie Bagleton, who joins us on the show this afternoon. Reggie, thanks for the time today, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for allowing me to be on the show. It's truly a privilege.
Hey, we appreciate the time today, man. And look, CFL season around the corner. We're still getting through the snow here in Calgary, but it's been a busy offseason for yourself, being a World Vision CFL ambassador. Can you talk about what you've been up to this offseason? I know it's been a busy one for you.
Yeah, outside of training and figure out when I have the time to focus on football, I'm out there trying to help the community. And this is one of those opportunities that allowed me to actually help a community that's outside my normal world.
Yeah, off to the Philippines to go help out there. You guys had school visits, obviously projects with World Vision. What was the highlights of the trip like for you, Reggie?
It allowed me to experience a life outside of my reality. This is something I've wanted to experience personally for a while now, and the opportunity was presented, and I jumped all on it. Go ahead.
No, please, you go ahead. I didn't realize you were still continuing your answer. My bad.
Oh, it's okay. I went there with an open mind, not knowing what to expect. I mean, you see what you see on TV and posts on social media, but you truly don't understand what's going on until you see it firsthand. And World Vision and the CFL has allowed me to give me that opportunity so I could bring back to the community.
And you got to go with a handful of other CFL players, like Tim White of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Nick Dembski from Winnipeg, Marc-Antoine Ducroix from the Alouettes. Any idea how that process works, how the CFL goes about choosing different players from each team to go out to the Philippines?
From what I was told, there is a process that they evaluate that works for the CFL has been looking at each player and go through this process of seeing what you've done in the community, what your character is based on social media, and over the years, what have you done for the community. And me personally, like last year, how I've won the Herm Harrison Award for the Calgary Stampeders, mm-hmm. and I was out in the community a lot, and I think that really helped me to get picked for this endeavor.
Okay. From your time in the Philippines, is there a moment or a memory from that time that really stands out to you that's kind of sticking in your mind from that experience?
There are quite a few, actually. And I can choose from many moments, but I'm going to choose from the first day. We went to go and visit elementary kids as they were in class. And we went to go and read to the kids and, you know, one of the first things that you notice is how really good these kids are. And they'll greet you at the door and they'll give you a smile. You could tell it's natural and it's not scripted at all. And the smile on these kids' faces, you're in the back of your mind, you're like, it doesn't seem too bad here, you know? Naturally, until we went directly to a few of the kids' homes right after school, and you notice, oh man, this is what they go home to, huh? And it's crazy. It's crazy that, you know, one of the main things that I say is that these kids have so little, but they have everything. And it even stems up to the parents. The parents are the same way. And this is something that I truly believe that World Vision has allowed to give them, because it gives them hope.
So when you guys go over, Reggie, as ambassadors, what are you guys looking to do? You're obviously meeting some kids and meeting some families, but what's the goal of the trip when you go over to a place like the Philippines?
Well, one of the goals is to focus on helping the world's most vulnerable girls and boys overcome poverty. That's the main goal of World Vision, right? Mm-hmm. And for us, the ambassadors, is to see firsthand the work that World Vision does and all the positive impact it has on the kids' lives. That includes the parents and everything that World Vision is able to supply these families. For example, we went to a fishing community, right?
Yep.
And World Vision provides a boat for this particular family that the child is in the program. And that boat allows the man at the house to go out and catch their main source of income, which is giant squid.
Damn.
Yeah. These boats are really, really, really small. Honestly, I'm a big fisherman. I'm a big time fisherman myself.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even dare to use these boats to go 4+ hours out to the ocean, open ocean, and try to catch giant squid. But that also brings in perspective of the reality that they live in. They have to do this to put food on the table. And these boats that World Vision provides allows them to go and do this, bring income in for the family. Because before this child was in the program, this particular family was devastated by the 2021 typhoon,
wow,
aka hurricane on this side of the hemisphere, and it completely destroyed their home. But by World Vision being able to give them this boat, they were able to make the income and repair their houses. And now they're living much better than it was, you know, about 3 years ago.
Wow, that's really good on you guys for making that work. How does it feel to know that you've contributed positively to a community that needed this type of help?
It feels great. I mean, I truly believe that you live life and you gain all these blessings to give back. And that's in any kind of way you can. And I encourage any Canadian that feels like, you know, that they want to give in a certain way, just understand that a little goes a long way for these communities, because they really don't have much.
Okay. What was it like hanging out with the kids? Did you get to play different sports with them? Did you pack a football with you on your trip?
The second day we went to go visit another school. It was from kindergarten all the way up to, I want to say, seventh grade. And the first thing we did, they taught us a couple of their games, right?
Oh, cool. Nice.
One game in particular, let's see if I can explain this right. there is this can, right? And it's guarded by one person. Everybody else, it's about 15 yards away from this camp. And if the first thing that you notice when you go to the Philippines is that everybody pretty much is wearing open-toed slippers, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's cheap and it helps with the humidity and everything, because, you know, most of the areas where they live is dirt anyway.
Yeah.
It keeps their home clean. Well, anyway, we're about 15 yards from the person that's guarding the can, and you try to you grab one of your slippers off your feet and you try to throw it and hit that can. If you miss the can, you have to go and retrieve your slipper, and as you come back, the person that's guarding the can has to try to tag you. However, as everybody's throwing the slipper at the can, if somebody hits the can, the person that's guarding the can has to go retrieve the can and put it back in the slipper before he can actually touch somebody. So it gets really, really competitive. Once we learned it, it was really fun, actually. And from us learning their games, we got the opportunity to teach them our game, which was football. So that was really fun. This particular school had about 1,500 kids. So they, majority of the kids was watching. They made a big old square, and they were watching. We used the basketball team, which had 12 kids, to try to, you know, make a makeshift game. It all worked out. They picked it up really, really well, even with the language barrier. One thing that, you know, these kids figured out pretty quick was the game of football requires a lot of conditioning.
But they're kids. They're kids. They've got all the energy and time.
Right? You would think that, but man, hey, when you're competitive like that, they learned it quick. However, it was really, really fun. And one thing that that we got to experience that we probably rarely get to experience again was the fact after the game, we went around to the 1,500 kids. They were all in groups, and we went to each group, and I swear we felt like superstars. These kids just wanted our autographs and to take pictures and everything like that, and you could just see the genuine happiness in these kids. And again, you wouldn't think anything is going on, you know, at home. But the reality is, like I said, they really don't have much, but they have everything. And anybody could take a chapter out of that story.
Yeah. Reggie, you talked about, you know, the community work that you guys do with the Calgary Stampeders and how that's a big thing for you. Where did that come from? Where did that appreciation and want to give back to the community, whether in Calgary or with World Vision in the Philippines, where did that come from you?
I believe that came from a lot of me growing up in the church and me also just having a genuine heart to understand that every and anybody needs help. And sometimes you're not in the best position to help others, but once you get there, or you can, then don't hesitate to do it, because the blessings will come back tenfold. So yeah, me growing up in a church all my life, and just the community that I lived with, everybody helped each other, and it makes the heart grow. And I feel like you not living a life of selfishness allows you to live a more happier life.
Before that experience, had you ever been to the Philippines or any of the neighboring countries in that corner of the world before?
Absolutely not. It was a totally, totally different experience. I remember we were at the airport one time, and one of the planes was decked out in like anime characters and everything like that. And I thought that was really cool. just to see a plane have character.
Are you going to go back? Do you think this experience is going to make you want to do more, whether it's with World Vision or, you know, just yourself, to want to continue to have these kind of experiences?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always wanted to travel as well, but this gives me even more incentive to travel. I'm not just doing it for myself. I'm doing it for others as well.
That's really great to hear, Reggie. Appreciate you sharing so much of your experience with us. We feel it's a huge thing to promote, and you've been such a great ambassador here in Calgary, and it was great to hear that you had a great time in the Philippines. Got to ask you about the season coming up, though. We're right around the corner. We've had some nice spring weather in Calgary. It's got people thinking about football before all this snow showed up. How's the off season been for you? You're coming back with the red and white. You getting excited for a new season already?
Oh, yeah, we went in the Grey Cup, point blank.
Damn straight.
It's straight up. I like the confidence.
Plan the parade. Let's go.
All right, so let's double down on that. I mean, look, you got to be confident. You can't go into these games not wanting to win it. But what makes you so confident that this roster can do it?
I've always had faith in this coaching staff with the scouting department, and the fact that we have the leadership in the room. The second half of that season last year, we figured out what actually can work for this team. And one thing that I believe that we struggle with, and this is just me being transparent, is that the leaders the leaders that were in the room, we're not real vocal guys. And we don't really care about the spotlight on us. However, we understand that if we want to win, then we have to get out of our comfort zone and we have to take control. The coaches can't do everything, and this is a player-ran sport. So we have to be those guys that get everybody on board and believe in the vision. I mean, the coaches, they do the hoorah and everything. They try to get you motivated, and the players mm-hmm. understand that they're not the ones on the field, right? So as us, the leaders who are on the field, we have to be confident and show the younger guys, hey, man, we know what works, and this is what works. Jake is a really positive influence in that offensive room. The things he did last year, especially towards the end of the season, it gives me all the confidence in the world that we're ready to go.
I was going to ask you about Jake, and it sure felt like you could see that growth on the field. Reggie, did you obviously saw that too in the locker room, and it just felt like as the season went on, he became more comfortable knowing that this was his team, it was his offense, and that's a learning curve for a guy that hasn't been a starter in this league before, right?
Yes, absolutely. Pretty much everybody in every position. It helps when you have multiple people in that position, but there's only one quarterback on the field at a time, right?
Yes. And you guys had a receiver room, including yourself. You know, we went through injuries a lot last year, and for Jake, that communication between receiver and quarterback, that changed at time. That's always a difficult thing to overcome as well, I'm sure. From your guys' perspective in the receiver room, that was something you guys had to battle with.
Absolutely, and we did Jake did a observation of how many, compared to other teams, how many of our starters, how many games they actually played, and we were very, very low in the totem pole when it came to that. I knew we were injured last year, but I didn't realize we were that injured.
Yeah.
But that comes with just, you know, doing the extra work at the end of the day and being a team and understanding that, yeah, this is a game, but this is also your job. And ultimately at the end, if you want to walk out with that trophy at the end, then we all need to buy in and understand that work comes first.
You mentioned earlier about wanting to be more of a vocal guy and having more guys in that room being vocal when that might not have been the case beforehand. I would imagine for something like that, like maybe there's a bit of like a culture shock that comes with that when you're being around your teammates and you want guys to speak up more. And maybe we'll know more once preseason gets going and in training camp, obviously. But at least in the early days, do you get that sense that other guys want to take that up too? And is there a bit of a culture shock with that?
It is. But that just comes with the natural man ego. Also, pride gets in the way. And for every positive and healthy relationship, it requires over-communication. It requires transparency, and it requires vulnerability. Until you can open your ears and be able to soak in and be transparent and respond healthily to respond healthy in a point where you're not going to offend it if somebody tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
No, the reason why we're telling you something is because we want you to rebuttal so we can see what you see and we can actually talk about it. Like, don't get your, you know, your panties in a wad and so to speak. And I'm not trying to control you is what I'm trying to
yeah.
say. I'm nobody trying to control you. We're trying to see what you see. And maybe your idea is better than my idea. So let's have this communication where we can all just be open.
Yeah. Try to make each other better, that sort of thing. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Look, really looking forward to the season. You know, Stamps fans are already itching to see you guys back here at the training camp. But really appreciate you hopping on, Reggie, and sharing some of your experiences with World Vision, man, and being so open. And a thank you from Calgarians, from myself and Julian, about being such a great ambassador to our city and, you know, coming here to Calgary and making such an impact off the field, man. It's really appreciated, hey?
Yeah, thank you. I thank you guys. I thank your community for welcoming me in. I know that's not my home, but yeah, it is, in my eyes, that is my home.
Thank you, Reggie. Have a great off season, man. We'll see you when you get back in town, eh?
Hey, yes, sir.
Take care. Thank you. Reggie Bagleton, Calgary Stampeders wide receiver, joining us this afternoon.
What a cool guy.
Really cool guy. I've chatted with Reggie a couple times over his time here in Calgary. And the community thing, that's not an act by Reggie. That's just a dude that literally is like, I'm playing pro football and I want to give back because I feel lucky to have gone and done that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had time in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers, came back to Calgary. Man, I can't help but look at the Stamps roster this year and think, if they're healthy, Malik Henry's here all year. Mark and Michelle is here all year. Reggie Pagleton healthy and ready to go. The Stamps don't take losing very well under Dave Dickinson and John Huffnagel era. Like, that's just not what they do.
That's what I've seen even from out east as well. The Stamps are a team that they're usually among the best teams in that West Division.
Yeah, and I Reggie's not joking when he thinks, when he starts talking about stuff like winning the Grey Cup.
I loved him just saying, oh, we win it. I love that. Like, I get it that, you know, if you're an athlete, you're in these leagues, you're in these competitions, of course you're saying stuff like that. But, like, it's still cool to just hear an athlete just be so confident in their team and just say, all right, we win it. That's confidence.
I love it. And I love the World Vision story. You can get to CFL.ca for more. Check out World Vision's website if you want to find out more about what they're doing. But, yeah, the CFL sending a number of ambassadors, including Reggie Bagleton, to the Philippines to see what they do and help spread the word about what they're trying to do in less established communities around the world and help them out. And clearly a guy like Reggie fits into that mold of somebody that's looking to help and looking to partner with that sort of organization. And I asked him, you're going to go back? Hell yeah, I'm going back.
Like, yeah.
I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to find out where else I can help. And those are really cool stories that we – sometimes it's good to promote the good stories in sports, Julian, and you know that as much as I do.
And I think just for when you're in his position and you have the CFL life you live, getting to play, but you have more money than the average guy and you're able to take these trips and go travel, like take that opportunity to do that, right? And get to experience something completely different than what you see out in your backyard. So good on him for having an open mind and not only going out there to just experience something different, but using his platform for good and hearing those stories of being out in Philippines and being around the kids and those families. Like that's really noble of him to be a part of that.
Thank you to Megan from World Vision Canada for helping set us up with that interview with Reggie this afternoon. We got one more thing to get to before we close out the week. It's the Friday DMs. Got some in already, but we want to hear from you at 960-960. It's not the traditional mailbag. It doesn't have to be Flames. It doesn't have to be sports related. We can talk about that if you want to. Do you want to talk about off-season free agent targets? Do you want to ask Julian what his favorite NHL jersey is? You want to ask Cam something? You want to ask Shan something? We open it up to you at 960-960. Get your questions in for the Friday DMs. We got a busy night tonight, Julian. We got the Beer League broadcast going on.
Yeah.
Arctic Monkeys and the Dream Team getting set up at the Flames Community Arena.
Do you guys do this every year?
This is the... Now, it stopped during COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, let's exclude COVID from this. I believe this is the fifth annual.
That's cool. That's awesome.
It's been fun. We're doing it again tonight. We've got some great sponsors on board. Obviously, our pals at Tuxedo Source for Sports helping us out. We got custom jerseys for both teams. So they're going to be decked out looking good.
That sounds like a really awesome event.
Yeah, they're going to be our sponsor in the broadcast booth as well. So thank you to Tuxedo Source for Sports for helping us out. And, of course, our friends at Wild Rose Brewery. They've been big on this since we started. Once we're done everything tonight at Flames Community Arenas, we're take the teams over to Wild Rose. We're going to have an after party there and hang out at the Curry Barracks. We're loving that. 6:30 puck drop. It's going to be on your radios, of course. Maddie, George, and Pat on the call tonight. You don't want to miss it. If you want to, if you're free on a Friday night, why don't you come down to the Flames Community Arena? You can meet the Sportsnet team. Come hang out with us all evening long. Shan will be there. He's giving out free hugs.
Yep.
So
Shan,
you want a hug,
Shan gives good hugs.
Yeah, if you want a free hug, just That's ask for Shan.
Totally happening.
There's also going to be a chance for you to win concert tickets. We have a 50-50 to support Kids Sport Calgary. Doors open at 6, puck drop at 6:30 again. Thank you to Tuxedo Source for Sports, serving Calgary families since 1960. If you want full details on the event, head to sportsnet.ca/960. The events page open for you. Get your questions into 960-960. The Friday DMs with Logan and Julian are next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Logan Gordon, Julian McKenzie along with you. It is Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Busy show flying by on this Friday. Flames Canucks chatter in hour one. Shan gave us the latest from March Madness. And also chatted with Reggie Bagleton of the Calgary Stampeders. If you missed any of it, podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. If you can't listen live, we'd love to have you along for the ride at 960-960. That's where we're heading next, because we close out the week like we always do, opening up the show to you and your questions. They don't have to be sports related. They don't have to be Flames related. We'll probably dive in there. It's time for another edition of the Friday DMs.
Who still uses that old mailbox? Time to bring it into the 21st century. Your burning questions answered on the Friday DMs.
The show is open to you at 960-960. Questions, comments, queries, whatever you want to talk about. We open up the show to you to close out the week here on Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon, Julian McKenzie, producers Cam and Shan along with us as well. Shan, why don't you think we kick things off on a Friday? What do you got for us?
Logan, I agree with you. Yes. This one, we're going to start with Cody and Drumheller.
Okay, Cody and Drumheller.
I am excited to hear this one myself.
Okay.
This one is for both of you, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Best and worst style for the Flames reporters.
Best style, worst style? Oh, so like clothes?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
No holding back.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Honestly, if I got to go best style, it's going to be, I'll probably give it to Franchise.
Ooh, yeah, the suit game looks pretty good.
Franchise's suit game is pretty, I mean, it's big money Francis, you know, like, I get it.
The TV guys operate in a different bracket.
Yeah. You know who tries to, like, compete with them? I wouldn't put them as the worst, but sometimes, like, I'll see them walk around, and I'm like, you know what? That suit's not bad, but he has his bad ones. Pat Steinberg. His style's pretty...
Steinberg's got some good looks.
He has some decent looks. Yeah. I'll give him that. Yeah, I think Franchise has to be the guy at number one because he wears some pretty good suits. Nothing too out of
nothing
the ordinary,
too flashy.
Nothing too crazy, but like it's usually pretty good.
Worst?
The worst style?
You gotta say it.
I'll say it, Solemn.
Ooh. You think he's the worst? Wow. Jeez. Jesus, man.
I'm just bugging him. It's just because of the one. It's just because of the one purple suit. That's all.
The Joker suit.
The Joker suit.
The
that's
Joker
the only
suit.
One that's,
no. Oh my
I'm
God.
I'm bugging Salam. That's not true.
Oh man. Worst style. I mean,
I don't say me. It's fine. I don't.
No. I mean, I don't
dabble
that,
in fashion.
That's not fair. Like that's not fair. I mean,
I'm not rocking Gucci. It's fine.
You know, nobody rocks Gucci in the press box. Nobody rocks Gucci in the press.
Why don't we just make it easy on ourselves? We know what the answer is. We should just both say it. It's Aaron Vickers.
Oh, nah.
It's Aaron Vickers.
No, I'm not letting you
It's
do
not
that.
Even close.
Aaron Vickers' style is not that bad. I'd rather
Vickers.
Say Solemn than Aaron Vickers.
Well, then we'll say Solemn.
Sorry, buddy. Love you, man. But you gotta take the L for this one. I'm not going against Aaron Vickers. Vickers.
There's a line drawn in the sand.
Yeah, I love and wow. Solemn and I, we go back. But like this, I can't do that. You'll get over it. It's fine. We're friends.
I got to defend Vickers. I think he has some good style.
Anyways, I think Vickers has good style. I'd rather his style than Solub's.
Okay. We got a group question here.
That.
Okay.
How many jerseys do you own? And I'm gonna add my own spin on this. Which one is your favorite jersey?
Okay. How many?
Yeah. How many?
Obviously
rough. You got a lot. You can give a rough estimate, but
I'm gonna put
fair
the
amount,
rough.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I've got about 15.
Sheesh.
Because I got a bunch of soccer jerseys. I've got at least like 5 or 7 Man United jerseys. I've got 2 CF Montreal kits. I've got a Jamaica kit for sure. And that's just like soccer jerseys. I've got a PSG one. I've got a Bayern Munich one. I got one from Aberdeen as well. So that's like
Aberdeen FC?
Yeah, there's this soccer store. I forget the name of it. I'll find the name when I get a chance. But what you can do is you can just order a surprise kit,
yeah,
and they'll just randomly pick out one that they might think you like,
yeah,
and you just get it. And Aberdeen, I believe, is the kit team. That's Sir Alex Ferguson. He managed at that team before he ended up at United, so that worked out for me. So that's at least 10.
I've been to an Aberdeen FC game.
Oh, nice.
In Scotland.
Oh, cool.
I have an Aberdeen FC jersey myself.
Nice. Okay. Next time we hang out, we'll both wear ours. But 15 might be underselling it because I didn't even go into the hockey jerseys that I have, the football jerseys. I'll say 20, 25.
Yeah, I'll say probably around 30.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Chargers ones and couple hockey ones. Honestly, my favorite that I have right now.
No, I gotta say 32 because I didn't even think about the baseball ones I have.
If I had to say my favorite right now is when San Jose brought those 90s throwbacks back as their alternate. I got a Marlowe one done up.
That's cool.
That's really sick.
I love that teal from their 90s look. That's probably my favorite one right now. Blasty's a presumptive favorite always, but if I had to pick one, that's the one I'm rocking with right now.
If I were to go out and wear a jersey, which I've done, I bought it's Fanatics, but I still like wearing it because I don't have to worry about messing it up. Remember the All-Star jerseys from not this year, but last year?
Mm-hmm. Those are nice.
Those were incredible. I bought the Eastern Conference one.
Didn't you buy a Ducks alternate?
I do have a Ducks alternate one because they just released the new editions this year.
Mm.
I did cop one. Good memory. I did buy one. I haven't worn that out yet. I'd like to at some point.
I like that jersey.
I love that jersey. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, I'm not really fans of teams anymore. So I just, if I go somewhere or if I see something that's like, this is cool, and I don't care if it's from this team, like, I'm gonna try to cop it.
Yeah.
Next.
How many? I think I have 7.
It's
pretty
good.
Low number. I've got 3 Flames jerseys.
Okay.
I've got the 03 to 06 ones in red. I've got the weird one where it had like Calgary in script written across the front that
they ran
for like a year or two. And then I've got one of the new ones. None of them have names on them. I can't be bothered to pay for it. I've got a few basketball jerseys. Most of them are not official.
I forgot about my basketball jerseys, bro. This is like 35 at least for me.
Damn. I've got a New York Knicks Kristaps Porzingis jersey.
Oh, nice. Wow.
A throwback Raptors Kyle Lowry jersey,
yep,
and an OVO DeMar DeRozan jersey.
Woo.
And my favorite is I have a 100 Thieves esports jersey that I love. It's like
you have an esports jersey?
I do, yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Dude, they're nice too.
Esports jerseys are a thing.
I said the same thing.
Like, I have no issue with esports at all. Like, that's cool.
No, but
that,
you
like,
don't need a jersey. Career.
But a jersey from a guy you watch play video games? Nah, that's too far.
No.
That's too far.
It's a team of 5, right? So
nah, that's too far for me. I don't mind watching people play video games. To get a jersey for a guy who plays video games, that's crazy.
Alex Brody's going to be so upset.
Could you imagine getting like a Chris Smoove jersey?
I would get a Chris Smoove jersey.
No!
Something wrong with your jersey.
No! What? That's too far. That is not a Smoove move.
Whoa.
To get a Chris Smoove jersey.
Imagine wearing like a Citrus Gaming Alex Brody jersey.
No!
I'd get an Alex Brody jersey. I'll put that out there.
Alex Brody's the last man I want a jersey from.
Wow, that's brutal.
No, I love Alex Brody.
I'll be quick. I think I'm rocking like 20 jerseys, I think. I think favorite one has to be, I got the Denver Nuggets, those rainbow jerseys. Allen Iverson.
Very nice.
That or the Chris Tanev one that has aged a little bit poorly, but it's fine. Yeah.
Why did it age poorly, Shan?
Well, he got sent away after being an absolute warrior. And when I see him next, tarps off for Tanev. Okay.
That's what I was waiting for.
This one's from Wedley. Julian, this is just for you.
Okay.
We got better rapper, KOS. Is that how I say that?
Oh, my God.
Is that
it's
right?
Chaos.
Yeah, that's what I said. Chaos or Cardinal Official.
Wow, you
know what? how to knew how to say it, Cardinal Official, but you didn't know how to say Chaos.
I don't know who Chaos is.
Stop. Wow, you live in this country, you don't know who Chaos is?
I know it's bad. I do like Cardinal Official, though.
I'm sure you do.
Cardinal Official, man, that's a OG. But I'm loyal to Chaos, man. Crab in a bucket, Sunday morning.
Me and Julian play this game all the time, by the way, because there's a YouTube series that makes you pick rappers and hip-hop artists that we both watch, and we do this to ourselves.
I Wish I Knew Natalie Portman's a great song, too. Zamboni. Chaos has got some good bops. I would pick it. I mean, and I love Chaos. I love Cardinal Official, but Chaos wins.
This one comes from Roy and Airdrie. Where will the Flames be in the standings when the new building opens?
What year does he presume the building will open?
No. Where will they be in the standings? When the new building opens, like you don't have to pick the exact spot, but a guess as to if they'll be in the top, if they'll be at the bottom.
I'd like to think that when the building opens, they'll be a playoff team.
Yeah, but that's kind of I think
that's the goal. But like, I'd like to think that they'd get to that point.
Yeah, I'd like year one to be a year where we go into it thinking if everything goes right, they're a playoff team. Like, without much doubt that they're going to make the playoffs. Is that?
Yeah. That's
kind of where I think they'd like to be.
Yeah. And I think that comes from some good drafting, assembling a good core of players. And I started thinking about this week, and I'm kind of sold on it. The offseason prior, you make like a big splash and you sign someone who you put on billboards around the city and you get people excited, and that helps with making the playoffs.
First of all, we have sent Alex Brody into a frenzy in the text line. He is nonstop. We're going to move on. TJ in the Northeast. I kind of like this one. Give me your guys' Mount Rushmore of WWE wrestlers. I love the part. It might be a spelling mistake, but I think it says Shan and Cam can chip in too. So, yeah, Mount Rushmore of WWE wrestlers.
I know that I'll be in a minority to this because I don't have the sort of wrestling length as like a Peter Klein. Like, I haven't been in it as long as that. It's been a long time since I've watched WWE on a regular basis. So I'm sure I'll miss somebody when I do this. Do you have four, Julian?
I need a fourth. I'm not a big wrestling guy, but like, I've watched enough Jim Ross clips to get a sense of who was really good and who wasn't.
I would go, I'm always partial to Bret Hart as a Calgary guy. It's an easy one.
That's probably
the best there is, the best there was, best there will be. Like, that's, I love The Undertaker. He's up there. Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I'll say John Cena. Those are my four.
Bret Hart should obviously have his place there. I wrote The Rock, Steve Austin, Undertaker, and I guess you got to put John Cena in there.
I kind of like Cena. I'm not going to lie. Seems like a cool dude.
I watched a little bit as a kid. So I'm going to give you the most like 10-year-old answer here. John Cena, Rey Mysterio was my favorite. That guy was cool. I don't know, John Cena, Rey Mysterio. I can't remember watching it. What's it, Big Show?
Yeah, Big Show would be another good pick.
I liked Big Show. I'll have to say Undertaker. That guy's cool. I mean,
Shawn Michaels.
When I was a kid, the Undertaker was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, the eyes, the you hear the bells are dong.
You actually believed he was just like dying and coming back to life.
throwing mankind off of the top of Hell in a Cell. As God is my witness, he is broken in half. That might be the coolest moment in WWE history.
What's worse in that situation, by the way, when you get asked to do that whole thing? What's worse, being the guy that takes the fall or the guy that has to throw him off?
Takes the fall.
Oof.
Takes the fall.
Question, takes the fall.
Takes the fall.
Yeah, but if he goes wrong, who's everybody looking at?
Hey, tell you what, if it goes wrong, they could still look at you alive. if you're throwing the guy off. You have to live with it, which
I feel like there's
isn't
no,
easy.
I just feel like there's no good answer there. You know what I mean?
Would you
like,
rather would
you're
you
either falling or you're the guy that's responsible for killing somebody?
Yeah, I guess it depends.
Again, like
it
depends on
what you want out of that situation, right? Like, do you want to live with that pain or do you want to just die?
I'm not saying there's a good option, by the way. I'm just saying.
You guys are all missing Hulk Hogan, by the way. No. Anyway, moving on.
I'm okay with
Hulk's a fake.
I'm okay with leaving Hulk Hogan off my list.
Okay, this one is one of my favorite questions I think we've got here. Colton S. If you guys could vacation in a world from a movie or a video game, which would you choose?
Oh.
That's a cool question.
Wow, that's a really good question.
Wow.
Wow.
I gotta think about that one.
Yeah, we might need the rest of the segment to do this.
we can move on and we can think about
it. No, hold on. We're gonna...
So from a video game, from a movie, like any fantastical oh man, wow.
I think Shan wants to live in Gotham City.
Well, yeah, because I'd save that place.
I mean, think about it. I mean, people make jokes about it all the time, but like rent has to be like dirt cheap in Gotham, right?
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Oh, for sure.
Like, you got to live with the fact that, like...
I'm sure it's really cheap.
You either could die or, like, your car... Like, you'll just walk outside and, like, some supervillain is, like, crushing your car.
Honestly, you know what? I think it's pretty easy. I live in the Shire.
Oh.
Okay.
I like it.
The Shire seems like a pretty cool place to live. You're pretty far away from all the happenings of Middle Earth. Right? Like, it's not like you're close to anything. They have a rich culture of food and drinking. I think I could live in the Shire.
I'd rather something...
Or where the elves live.
I'd rather something a little bit more modern. Something a little bit more, you know, not...
Hogwarts?
I mean, if I live in Hogwarts, I have to have powers, right?
Shan, would you live in Narnia?
I actually have been sitting here with no answer. Hogwarts might be my answer.
Hogwarts would be pretty good.
If I get to be a wizard, yeah. I was a big Harry Potter guy. That looked like, that was the place like, oh, I want to be a wizard.
Yeah, you get to live with like, you know what? For the purposes of this, because we do have to move on, I will say Hogwarts.
I'm going to give a shout out to Skyrim from Elder Scrolls as a vacation place.
Ooh,
that would be the place to be.
This one's coming from Alex. I think we have to get to Alex because we've made him angry. This was before he was angry. Odds Logan does a WHL bracket challenge once playoffs are locked.
100%. I'll do one.
Okay. Can we start that for the 960 listeners too?
Yeah, I'll put it out on socials.
I'll
do one with Maddie and anybody else that did Hitman stuff this year.
We got another Flames one from Colin in Calgary. Who are the Flames, the top 9 Flames wingers come September?
Huberdeau's one. Do you think they try Connor Zary at center next year?
Only if they don't have centers.
Yeah, that's the big question.
I'd still say, especially since he's been hurt and he hasn't really got a full season in at wing.
Yeah,
Huberto, Pospisil.
Yeah,
Kuzmenko.
Yep,
Coleman.
Yep. I say they get one this offseason. I say they get a new one.
Coronado.
I think maybe this is a take, but I can see them getting another winger in the offseason. And as a result of that, for your top 9, it pushes a guy like Coronado out of it. And he has to fight for a spot at training camp, and he might have to start the season in the A. Unless he balls out in training camp, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
Okay, we got. I like this one
too.
I like this one to end here. This is from John from Lethbridge.
To end.
Well,
it's 2:51.
No, but this is a good discussion.
Okay.
What athlete, past or present, would you choose to do best in a tournament of 20 different sports, like anywhere from swimming to hockey to golf?
So like the best all around athletes?
Yeah. Pretty much put him in like an Olympic setting.
Damian Warner? I mean, he literally won a gold medal doing that.
That is true.
At the last Olympics.
I imagine.
So give us.
I think you're talking about like pro sports.
Yeah, I know. Team, yeah, I was just being.
Obviously,
I was just being. Anyway, if you're gonna do that, are we allowed?
LeBron's gonna be up there.
Are we allowed to use past athletes?
Yeah, past or present. Yep.
Bo Jackson.
That's a great pick. Mm.
Bo Jackson's my pick. Bo Jackson can do no wrong as long as his knees are okay.
I'm thinking like LeBron is the one that comes to my head right away.
Well, yeah, because LeBron is a
freak.
One of the best athletes we've ever seen.
It's just you get like a sport like soccer. Like I don't think he's going to do all that well in soccer.
You mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I guess that's true. I mean, I think we can all agree, LeBron, if he actually...
Put him as like a make him like an attacker.
Well,
like a super enhanced, like Jozy.
And like, by the way,
we're going
off the last 20 years. I'm picking like 25-year-old LeBron James.
Yeah. Like I assume you're
picking him today. I'm picking like the peak LeBron James.
I think the assumption is that you're picking the athlete in peak condition.
Run, jump, pass, hit everything. If you taught LeBron how to skate, I'm sure he could probably figure out hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just wouldn't put it past a guy like that. Bo's an obvious.
Yes.
Is an obvious choice because he did it in two pro sports.
To that measure, too, Deion Sanders has to be considered in this as well because he also did it.
I might completely contradict myself and say Wilt Chamberlain.
Why would that be contradicting yourself?
Because I said LeBron's too tall.
So you pick someone
taller?
So
you pick someone way taller.
Yeah, but listen, I've seen the two clips of him in the world, and he looks like... The stuff that he was doing, ridiculous. He, of course, the 100 points, whatever. But those two clips that I saw of him, the way he jumped, the way he ran. I mean, his legs looked. They called him Wilt the Stilt for a reason.
Yeah, they did.
I think he'd have a chance to win that.
Did you guys ever see that clip? I don't know if it was from a documentary about Wilt, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was talking about him, and he remembers being in an elevator with him and a fan.
Yeah.
And a fan is looking at Wilt Chamberlain, and he's like, hey, how's the weather up there? And then Wilt Chamberlain spits on the fan, and it's like, and he's like, it's raining.
It's raining. Yeah,
oh my wow.
That is true.
It's crazy.
Savage.
Like, what?
That's pretty brutal. We got a text here saying, all the athletes in the world, you think LeBron James would be the greatest all-around athlete? If he decided to play football, he'd play football. Like, he'd be in the NFL.
He would be the NFL.
And he'd be great. He could be the leading tight end in the NFL if he didn't play basketball. I'll tell you that.
Tell you what, though, the fact that he's doing that, being a dominant NBA player, I mean, he might not ever be the GOAT, but, like, he's damn near close.
He's 40.
And he's playing at a high level.
Still pretty damn good.
He's the leading scorer all time in the NBA.
25 points a game this year.
Like,
at 39.
Like LeBron. We will probably never see, or I don't know, maybe we will.
Look, LeBron's not my greatest basketball player of all time, but I still think as an athlete in this context, you can't deny that
he's one of one.
His athletic ability would be freakish.
100%.
I like this one, Taysom Hill.
I love the Taysom Hill answer.
Oh, dude.
Just because.
You gotta give that, there's some credit to that, you know?
I love the answer. It's nowhere near close to the top, but I love that. Michael Jordan also played two pro sports too.
Jordan
and is a stud golfer.
He'd have a shot.
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
Not a baseball, but.
I mean,
whoa.
He still tried.
Sure.
He played pro baseball at some point.
Couple JJ Watts here.
JJ Watt can skate.
Yes, that's
true. JJ Watt is an athlete. Like, he could do it.
He was a good. I've seen him with a hockey stick. He looks pretty good.
Tell you what, that's a guy if he changed sports. I mean, to that extent, too.
He's just giant.
The Kelce brothers, because I believe they came up playing hockey, too. At least Jason did.
Yeah, I don't know if Jason's what we'd call an all-around. I mean, listen, he's incredible. I'm not trying to diminish anything about Jason Kelce.
Arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, center/snappers
totally.
We've ever seen.
I just don't know if he's going to do well in 100 meters.
His wife's also really hot.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Sure. All right. I mean, I'm not saying she's ugly or just I don't think that was necessary. But
and that's been all, Friday DMs.
All around athlete, boys.
Yeah, all right. Enjoy
Jason
yourself.
Kelsey.
Oh, I love the guy who suggested Brent Cron.
Yeah, that's
goalie
that's
and ball speed walker.
Yeah.
Shout out Brent Cron. He's great.
I think Brent Cron is our final answer.
Thank you, Shan. Well done, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Julian, appreciate you as always, my man. Thanks for hopping on the last couple days.
Likewise, my G.
We'll pass things over to Real Kipper and Bourne. We got a special edition of Flames Talk coming up live from the Flames Community Arena as we get set for our Beer League broadcast tonight. It starts at 6:30. You don't want to miss it. If you're not busy, come on down to Flames Community Arenas. Come hang out with us for the evening. It'll be a great one. Thanks to Cam and Shan, my outstanding producers, for their great work, and thanks for all of your fun questions on the text line at 960-960. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy the Flames and the Canucks and the Flames and the Sabres. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down for you with another edition of Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.